Chapter 33. Pursuant to Mr. Lake's precise instructions, Jane drove alone to Chevy Chase. She found the shopping center on Western Avenue and parked in front of Mailbox America. With Mr. Lake's key, she opened the box, removed 8 pieces of junk mail, and placed them in a folder. There were no personal letters. She walked to the counter and informed the clerk that she wished to close the box on behalf of her employer, Mr. Al Conyers. The clerk pecked a few times on a keyboard. The records indicated that a man named Aaron L. Lake had rented the box in the name of Al Conyers about 7 months earlier. The rental had been paid for 12 months, so nothing was owed.
"That guy running for president?"
the clerk asked as she slid a form across the counter.
"Yes," Jane said, signing where indicated.
"No forwarding address?"
"No."
She left with the folder and headed south back into the city. She had not stopped to question Lake's story about renting the box in a clandestine effort to expose fraud at the Pentagon. It didn't matter to her, nor did she have time to ask a lot of questions. Lake had them sprinting 18 hours a day, and she had far more important things to worry about. He was waiting in his campaign office, alone for the moment. The offices and hallways around him were choked with assistants of a dozen varieties, all running back and forth as if war were imminent. But Lake was enjoying a lull in the action. She gave him the folder and left. Lake counted 8 pieces of junk mail. Taco delivery, long-distance service, a car wash, coupons for this and for that. And nothing from Ricky. The box was closed. There was no forwarding address. The poor boy would have to find someone else to help him through his new life. Lake fed the junk mail and the cancellation agreement through a small shredder under his desk, then paused for a moment to count his blessings. He carried little baggage in life, and he'd made few mistakes. Writing to Ricky had been a stupid thing to do, yet he was walking away unscathed. What a lucky man! He smiled and almost giggled to himself. Then he bounced from his chair, grabbed his jacket, and rounded up his entourage. The candidate had meetings to attend, then a lunch with defense contractors. Oh, what a lucky man! Back in the corner of the law library, with his 3 new friends guarding the perimeter like sleepy sentries, Argro fiddled with the phone long enough to convince them he'd pulled strings all through the dark and murky world of offshore banking. 2 hours of pacing and mumbling and holding the phone to his head like a frantic stockbroker, and he finally came out of the room.
"Good news, gentlemen," he said with a tired smile.
They huddled around, eager for the results.
"It's still there," he said.
Then the great question. The one they'd been planning, the one that would verify whether Argro was a fraud or a player.
"How much?" asked Spicer.
$190,000 and small change," he said, and they exhaled in unison. Spicer smiled, Beach looked away. Yarber looked at Argro with a quizzical frown, but a rather pleasant one. According to their figures, the balance was $189,000 plus whatever paltry rate of interest the bank was paying.
"He didn't steal it," Beach mumbled, and they shared a pleasant memory of their dead lawyer, who suddenly was not the devil they'd made him out to be.
"I wonder why not,"
Spicer mused, almost to himself.
"Well, it's still there," Argro said. "That's a lot of legal work."
It certainly appeared to be. And since neither of the 3 could think of a quick fib, they just let it pass.
"I suggest you move it, if you don't mind my saying so," Argro said. "This bank is known for its leaks."
"Move it where?" Beach asked.
"If the money were mine, I'd move it to Panama immediately."
This was a new issue, a train of thought they had not pursued because they had been obsessed with Trevor and his certain theft. But they weighed it carefully anyway, as if the matter had been discussed many times.
"Why would you move it?" Beach asked. "It's safe, isn't it?"
"I guess,"
Argro answered, quick with a response. He knew where he was going. They did not.
But you see how loose the confidentiality can be. I wouldn't use banks in the Bahamas these days, especially this one.
And we don't know if Trevor told anyone about it, Spicer said, always anxious to nail the lawyer.
You want the money protected, move it, Argro said. It takes less than a day, and you won't have to worry about it, and put the money to work. This account is just sitting there, drawing a few pennies in interest. Put it with a fund manager, and let it earn 15% or 20%. You're not going to be using it anytime soon.
That's what you think, pal, they thought. But he made perfect sense.
And I assume you can move it, Yarber said.
Of course I can. Do you doubt me now?
All three shook their heads.
No, sir. They did not doubt him.